you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you to Jenkins Church this morning, and we are so glad to have each of you on this Easter Sunday morning. I know we have visitors or first-time people. Wave at me if this is your first time you've been with us in a while. Then I'm wrong. No, I'm not. Good. So glad that you're with us. And let's take a moment, stand, greet each other, and especially greet those folks if this is their first time to be with us today. Lots of announcements that are in the bulletin, but is there any announcements that someone wants to call special attention to this morning? Yes. All right. Kitchen meeting next Sunday at 10. All right. 6 tomorrow night, barbecue meeting. Any other announcements? All right. The rest are in the bulletin. Be sure and take a moment to read them. Any prayer requests or praise reports this morning? Yeah.
Teenager. She's going to learn a lot, and maybe take care of some babies. We hope Sam does some physical work on the clinic there. And Whitney Skinner, who has been in our midst, and you've heard a lot about her over the past 2 years, she will be, they will be visiting her in the clinic there that she works on. And her life is up and down, but she keeps plugging away. So let's bow for prayer. Let's pray for Whitney, the ministry there, the orphans, the leaders, and these who are going to bring a little joy. Lord God, we wouldn't do anything without your blessing. But sometimes we find ourselves not pausing to think about that, but we do right now. We know this is your work. We thank you for Wendy. We thank you for the work that she is doing and those that she works with. Lord, we thank you for the support that has been given her throughout the churches of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church that she has visited and gathered help from, but other groups also, Lord. We just praise your name for the cooperation, the united support. Lord, we pray for these three. Lord, especially we pray for Jesse. Lord, a new experience for her, a new world that she has never experienced. Bless her work, but also, Lord, we pray for your blessing on this town and that you can show a lot of compassion and love, and just like she does here all the time with us. Lord, for sound physical abilities, or the ability to do physical things. Lord, we just rejoice in that, that he has dedicated it to you to share it with those less fortunate, be they in Mississippi, Louisiana, Florida, or Guatemala, or Columbia, South America, or wherever else you point. Bless this ministry, this trip, in Christ's name. Amen.
We want to pause for a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for the worship of the Lord, and we have the light in our candles this morning. Welcome Jesus, the light of the world, into our service this morning. Our call to worship is found in your bulletin. It is responsive. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said."
Alleluia.
Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
To hymn 217, Christ the Lord is risen.
Bring your joy. fire. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come on this resurrection morn. Lord, we hear a lot of news reports about it. We hear a lot of people that complain about it. But we hear a lot of people that rejoice about it. And Lord, as we come this day, I just want to thank you for the events of the past week that we celebrated. Lord, I thank you for those events. And I thank you that we could come and celebrate them, observe them. Lord, Jesus meeting with his disciples in the upper room, where he instituted a remembrance. And thank you, Lord, that we could, as Christians around the world, gather at your table and remember your great sacrifice for us. Lord, for the expressions of Friday evening, as those young people came and presented the gospel, the good news, that you gave your life for us. And Lord, we saw in those characters changed lives because you were the Savior, God in the flesh. Thank you for their sharing their devotion. Lord, as we come this morning, we rejoice that death could not hold your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we're so thankful that you came up out of that grave, and we just rest in that. But Lord, let us not rest too long. Let us be vigilant about sharing the truth of your life. Lord, in this hour, we pray that you would speak to each of us, that you would speak through each of us. May we receive, but may we also give. Of resurrection power that you share with us. And Lord, we do thank you for the hope that we have in our own resurrection from the dead, and the hope of coming to live with you eternally. We offer our prayer, even ourselves, in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Put into words the gospel through the Apostles' Creed. We will remain standing for that and remain standing for the Gloria.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. And it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
probably my favorite part of the service. When we can come to the Lord, what better time than on Easter Sunday when we celebrate His resurrection, that we can come confessing those sins that are in our life, asking for forgiveness, asking for restored fellowship with the Lord. What a marvelous time to do it. Our call to confession is from Romans. There is no one righteous, not even one. Our prayer of confession is in unison. Let's say it together. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, You shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry, and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed, and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak, and abuse the earth You made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust Your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Our assurance of forgiveness is found in 1 Peter. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds You have been healed.
We will turn your hymns now to hymn 216. If you kept your place, it's right across the page. Let's sing the first and the last, 1 and 3. gates and doors are barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. But the stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, and John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Now something strange had happened there, what I didn't know. John believed a miracle. I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything that I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, he wouldn't be the same. Suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. The light that shone from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear that I'd ever had melted into peace. We have something that the religions of the world don't have. We have a risen Savior. He's not in that grave anymore. He's alive.
He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. I am forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive, and I am forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive.
Offertory sins come from Hebrews 6 and verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him. You have helped His people and continue to help them. The ushers would please come forward.
With me along my path.
Our scripture this morning comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices that had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in cloths that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be risen again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what happened. The word of God for the people of God.
Trusting Jesus. That's what it's really about. Or that is our hope, or our goal, that we will come to trust Jesus or trust Him more. Trust Him for salvation and eternal life, and then trust Him for every area of life. Sermons need to have a purpose. If you don't have a purpose, it could become so many words just to fill up so much space. And that's quite, maybe in many cases, most cases, if that's all it is, a waste of time. Or it could be. And then even if you're just sharing the Word of God, that may be a life-changing experience also. But a purpose today, why do we preach on Easter Sunday? What is our goal? I hope to present the resurrection message with the anticipation, me anticipating, and hopefully you anticipating, that you who are believers will be strengthened in your belief. There's always room for improvement in any life, and especially in our relationship to God. When we get to the point of thinking that we have arrived, watch out, because we probably will have. And then, for unbelievers, if there's an unbeliever here, we hope that you will come to trust in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Really, that's what preaching is about. Strengthen the believers and bring the unbelievers to a faith or a trust or to a belief in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. The resurrection. Easter Sunday is about the resurrection. Resurrection Sunday might be a better term. That's what Christianity is about. That's the central message. William Barclay points out, if Christ had not been raised from the grave to a new life, a resurrected life, we would never have heard of it. I think William Barclay is right. The central message of the Christian faith. The life of Jesus, that's important. The way He lived, the miracles He performed, they were all great. And they still are great as we review them, as we study them, as we see His power. I enjoyed reading the passages that talk about the miracles of Jesus for a Lenten season devotion. The parables Jesus told, they were great. They are great to teach us about life and how to live. And it all points to Jesus dying for our sin, but not staying dead, being raised to new life. One thing that I think we should remember is that God the Father, is the power behind the resurrection. Now, we believe as Christians that Jesus was God in the flesh. But Peter emphasizes over and over that it was God who raised Jesus up from the grave. God the Father. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. God raised him up. Peter preaches. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. God raised him up. And then in the 10th chapter, when Peter was preaching in Cornelius' house to Cornelius and those Gentiles who had gathered at his house, he emphasized again that it was God who raised him up. And somewhere in my memory last year in the Easter sermon, we emphasized, or I tried to emphasize, that God was in this. This was not Jesus doing this on his own. It was God's blessing upon him and God's help in his life and God raising him up to new life. God emptied that grave. The passage that we have read from Luke is about people who encountered Jesus. Some of them later, they found an empty tomb and they went to anoint the body or to embalm the body, as we might refer to it, according to their practice. Matthew gives us an account of people encountering Jesus after he arose. Mark gives us the account of people encountering Jesus after he arose. Luke gives us that account. I like the latter part of chapter 24 of Luke, the people who were walking to Emmaus on the afternoon of the resurrection day. And then John. John gives us numerous accounts of Jesus coming and meeting with the disciples after he arose, the risen Jesus. And those who encountered or met or saw or experienced the risen Jesus, they were encouraged to rejoice. The passage from Luke talks about the fear. They saw the two men. Luke gives us two men. And what had happened? Somebody stolen the body? There was fear. They were called upon to rejoice. Sometimes we need to be reminded to rejoice over Jesus in our world. Sometimes we can get so hung up on the crucifixion, and oh, I I'm so thankful that Jesus was willing to die. And that is so important, because without the crucifixion, we wouldn't have the resurrection. But that's a sad occasion, is it not? Friday night, as the young people acted out or recited, they recited the account of different characters surrounding the cross. Nikki, who read the scripture this morning, she was the Roman soldier. Other characters, some women. It was touching. It was moving. It would move you to tears. So, I've been studying it and reading it again and again for these years. When we look forward from the sad part to a time of rejoicing. So this morning, if we know about the risen Lord, it's a call for rejoicing. Rejoicing. The Psalms even that talked about His death, ended them on a positive note, or a note that would cause us to rejoice. But that wasn't all that they were called upon to do. They were urged to believe. Believe. They couldn't believe. They didn't know what had happened. They were confused, those who went to the tomb and found it empty. And when these ladies went back and reported to the apostles, they couldn't believe. And we remember Thomas. He said, "I won't believe unless I see him, unless I feel the nail print in his hand and thrust my hand in the place in his side where the sword went. I won't believe unless I can do that." Jesus kept coming and revealing himself and enabling the people to believe. You know, I've never seen anybody who was dead even to be resuscitated. Have you? I've heard stories of people being in the hospital and they die and they see a great light at the end of a tunnel, and or they talk about being up over the operating table and looking down and seeing people working on their body, a death experience, or it is claimed to be. But I don't know anybody that's really experienced that. I've read about it and heard about it. I didn't know Lazarus. He was brought back to life with the same body that he had when he died. The widow's son of Nain, he was brought back to life. But in our world, we read these stories and we've never seen it. So is there a bit of doubt there? But Jesus came back to life in another body. A body that could enter a room through locked doors. Could appear and disappear seemingly at will. It wasn't easy to believe. But these 12 or 11, and then Matthias was inserted in there to replace Judas. So it was 12. And then these women. The women had the greatest experience, it seems, of sharing the good news. They got to tell it over and over. They got to be the first to say, "Jesus is alive. He is risen." Many of those who had lived with Jesus, they have difficulty in believing that He really was alive. But Jesus kept appearing to them and appearing to them and urging them to believe. And then when they began to believe, and then they began to preach the gospel. Peter, especially in the first 12 chapters of Acts, over and over preaches a risen Jesus and urges the people to believe, to trust. They were not only urged to believe, they were urged to share the good news. I heard a report this morning that 42% of the American people attend church somewhat regularly. And that was kind of bragging about that. See, it was a news reporter, and like that was a lot of people. But if you look at the other side of that, maybe we should look at the positive side of it, but look at, does that mean, my math's always terrible when I'm in the pulpit especially, but is that 58% or not part of the church? Can I get that right? Believers, sometimes we're too quiet about the message of Jesus, the risen Jesus. And then those who encountered Jesus experienced a living presence, I found that Jesus is not just a character in a book. Oh, we read about Abraham Lincoln, and we read about Caesar, and we read about George Washington, and we read about Christopher Columbus. But we read about Jesus, and he changes our lives. Those who encountered him experienced a living presence, and when we encounter Jesus, we too experience a living presence. And his last words, according to Matthew, to his disciples, or to the 12, before he ascended, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." What does it mean that Jesus died and rose again? What does the crucifixion and the resurrection mean to us? It means that we have the opportunity to be saved. Salvation. We can be forgiven. If we reflect on our lives and think of every wrong thing that we've ever done, every wrong thought that we've ever thought, Jesus paid for it on the cross. And he killed him. But God raised him up on the third day to new life. And resurrected him. The Bible says that he is the first fruits of those who go to sleep in Jesus, or who die trusting in Jesus as their Lord. Take your hymnals, if you will, and turn to 355. And let's sing about trusting Jesus. Number 355, and the verses I want us to sing this morning, verse 1 and verse 4. I don't know the effects of my preaching this morning. I don't know the effects of the reading of God's Word upon your life. I don't know the effects of the beautiful music and how Sam so beautifully shared that song again. He's alive. I clap to thank Sam, but I clap because Jesus is alive. I believe it. I'm trying to live it. Because he lives, we too have the hope of living eternally after this life, even if we die. So if any of this service or any of the events of the past week, or maybe God has just spoke to you in His own special way and say, trust me, believe in me, depend on me for forgiveness and for eternal life. That happened to be you. This altar awaits you. We'll meet together there. We'll pray. If you feel that God is saying to you, go forward. Make a commitment of your life to Jesus. And even if it's difficult to believe, we can pray together that God will give you the ability to believe. Even our faith is a gift of God. 355, Trusting Jesus, verse 1 and 4.
Morte.